Hey man, I love it when our teenagers are up here. I'm a teenager at heart. I can't keep I'm finding out real quick. I can't keep up with them like I used to. But they're a lot of fun. And normally I sit up here and I do reflect upon the message, and I do. But you don't always get people waving to you during the offertory, But the teenagers do, okay? And they're just kind of turkeys, but I love them. I love these teens, and it's awesome. And they bring a good spirit. They really do, and they're our next generation, and I'm big on just, boy, trying to ground the truth into their hearts, and I pray they get it, and so forth. But take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to go ahead and we'll stand, and we will read four verses responsively. I'm going to need a good hearing this morning. It may seem a little pointed this morning, but the Word of God has a way to be of being pointed at times. Amen. But Genesis chapter 13, it will read responsibly verses 1 through 4. So let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Again, teenagers, I'd ask you to put all cell phones away, put everything away except your Bible. Okay, that's all you need. All right, you don't need any other book. You don't even need the little devotional book we have out there. Just right now, just put everything aside and help me out just a little bit. Okay, if I lose my place, it's not a good thing. I start over and we get out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm kidding, all right? But just help me out, okay? And but I won't listen. I love you teenagers a lot, okay? And if I see a little bit of this and that, I may step down and just say a couple words and go back to preaching, okay? I've done it before. I don't want to do that, all right? So just help me out. Genesis chapter 13, and I'm going to go ahead and just give you the title now, The Road Back to Canaan. And the road back to Canaan. But 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 4 responsibly. If you have it, say amen. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. This would be in vain if I just did this in my flesh and my own strength today. Lord, I need your strength today. I need you to speak through me, Holy Spirit. I pray you'd encourage hearts, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll teach us some things today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to use one of these mics today. I think the plain one, Brother Joe. I'm going to refer to another chapter, the chapter just before it, in just a moment. In chapter 12 in just a moment. Actually, I'm going to read a couple verses over there. You just follow me. I'm going to read the first several verses. I'll try not to be too fast. We got some reinforcements today in our deaf ministry. Amen. Thumbs up, huh, Miss Ruth? All right, amen. Anyway, I know she does so well following this preacher, but I got to move right along here. But let me just read a couple verses just to give us a little bit of a foundation. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. The great patriarch Abram, if I make a mistake by calling him Abraham, pardon me. It's because later on his name is, of course, changed to Abraham. But Abram is a great patriarch. The Bible says that he was also a friend of God. And we see there in that particular, them particular scriptures I read just a moment ago, that Abram, God, I should say, called upon Abram to go ahead and leave his land, his homeland, the Ur of the Chaldees. What a step of faith when you think about it. His homeland, but he was to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. And God says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God says, you know, Abram, I know you're not going to totally understand that. I don't think Abram and his family, Abram was a rich man. He had a whole lot of belongings. He had a whole lot of stuff to take with him and so forth. I don't think he totally understood the will of God. Hey, when the will of God is revealed to you, we don't always understand what he's doing. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But Abram, you know, by faith, he went ahead and got his all his stuff together. And God said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to go ahead and bless thee. You know, in other words, I'm going to take care of you, Abram. You don't have to worry about anything. Yes, you'll have your ups and downs. You'll have your trials. That's part of the Christian life. But you know what? All through it all, I'm going to go ahead and I will take care of you. I will bless you. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. So, you know, Abram, by course, he obeyed. He departed. He went on into the land of Canaan. Whenever you see Egypt, okay, whenever you see Egypt, let me just give you a little bit of more foundation here. It's always a type of world. It's always a type of sinful living, if you will, going down into the world, living wrongly, living sinfully, and so forth. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Okay, so just keep them in mind as we go forward here. So God was preparing a land for Abram, the land of Canaan. That was God's will for Abram and so forth. Grab all your stuff, grab your family, go there, obey me. I will go ahead and take care of you. I will make of thee a great nation. We all know that. And then we go ahead and we read through there, and then we see in verse number 10, well, we see that he obeyed. We see that he once he got to Canaan, he built an altar there. He worshiped the Lord, okay? That's what we all should do. You see evidence of what, here's a great Christian man teaching us what we should do. We should worship the Lord. We should have an altar. We should have a prayer altar. We should be praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, verse number 10, this is where the problem came. Okay, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, let me just stop and say this. The leaving the Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan was the will of God, amen, for Abram. Amen, okay? It was the will of God for him. Now, we see a picture here that when you're in the will of God, adversity will come. Okay, it's going to come. There's going to be a famine or some problems that will come along the way. We expect the will of God, man, it's supposed to be the victorious Christian life. The Canaan land was supposed to be living the victorious Christian life. Let me tell you something. Yes, you know what? But don't think that he got into Canaan and everything was going to be just peachy cream. There was some work that needed to be done. There was some things that needed to be taken care of. Let me tell you something. In our life, if we're going to succeed in the will of God, there are some things that will come your way that'll trip you up, that'll maybe stall you, if you will. And don't think for a moment. Now, some of the things that may stall us in the will of God, it could be because of sin. Hey, that's between you and God. It could be a sin problem. Maybe that's one reason why some in the will of God, maybe that's why some are just spinning your wheels. You're not going anywhere. And it might be because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is revealing some sin in your life, and you need to go ahead and take care of that. Now another reason may be for adversity in the will of God could be that God is trying to prepare you for something bigger and better. You know, and you got to analyze that. You know what? And let me tell you something. If you know there's sin in your life, don't expect to go forward and do great big things for God. You need to go ahead and take care of that sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. We need to confess. We need to repent of that sin so that we can go forward and do whatever it is that God wants us to do. But you know what? Maybe some of the adversity in the will of God comes because God is preparing you for something bigger. You know, God is preparing you for something better. God is preparing you. You may not know what it is, but you know what? By faith, just like you trusted God by faith, we are to go ahead and walk by faith, as the Bible teaches, and not by sight, okay, but we're to walk by faith, and we're to grow in grace in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just like God said, Abram, I will go ahead and bless you, I will take care of you, don't you think God will do the same for us? Sure he will. You know, he's not a respecter person. He's not going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to take care of you, but I'm going to bless it. No, he will go ahead and bless you. Now, he's not going to bless open sin. If there's sin in your life, you need to deal with it so that he can openly bless you. But let me tell you something. He is still in the blessing business. He wants to bless you. But, you know, it may be some of that sin or that adversity could be because there's some, you know, he's trying to prepare you for something bigger. But here's where the problems came lies for Abram. Instead of looking at the perspective, man, there's famine in the land. What am I going to do? I got to feed my family. I got to feed my cattle. What is going to go ahead and happen? He should have gone ahead and got on his knees, trusted God. He should have just gone ahead and built an altar, and got on his face before God and said, God, you told me. You did. Genesis chapter 12, 2, that you're going to bless me. You told me you're going to take care of me. But we got this famine in the land. But you know what? Somewhere, his faith got cloudy, like some of ours does. Somewhere along the way, his faith got a little shaky, and, there's a famine, and Abram went down. Whenever you go to Egypt, you're going down. It's a spiral downward. Again, it's a type of world. It's worldly living, if you will. So Abram, he was shaken, if you will. He loses faith. There's famine in the land of Egypt. And so then he gets there, and as they get to Egypt, he goes and tells his wife, we understand, he tells his wife that you know what, when we get there, you can read the rest of it. When we get there, you need to tell them, because you're a beautiful lady, Sarah, you need to tell them that you are my sister. Don't tell them you're my wife. Because we're not going to get what we need to get if you go ahead and tell them that, if we're hooked up as a couple. And then we see the disaster that this trip turned out to be. He lied. He caused his family, his wife, to lie. See, when you go back into the world, go back to Egypt, go back into sin, let me tell you something. Your outlook on the Christian life changes. Your outlook, your mentality kind of changes. The outlook on church, the outlook on preaching, the outlook on our family, the outlook on all kinds of things changes once we kind of veer back or backslide into the world. That's why I think that's why, immediately he says, now, Sarah, you need to, don't tell him you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister. And then you see the problems that went along with it. And as a result, the Bible says, let me just read it. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, let me read here. I'm sorry. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of what Sarah, Abraham's wife, did. Okay, she lied to Pharaoh. Okay, the Lord went ahead and plagued Pharaoh's house. It caused problems for the leadership, if you will. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? And saidst thou, she is thy sister, so I might have taken her to be to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go away. You think about this for a minute. It could have been much more disastrous than just that. Pharaoh could have had the power to go ahead and say, Abraham, you lied to me. You're dead. You see God's grace there. You see God's grace there. And another problem with this? Listen, another problem with this? Abraham forfeited the right to ever reach the Egyptians for God. Listen to me. Don't you think you can go back into Egypt and have this party and have a great time as a child of God? Number one, it will be miserable. It will be disastrous. And it ought to be disastrous. It ought to be that the Holy Spirit is not going to, he's not going to bless you there. But you backslide, you go back, and you do what you want to do. And then you come to yourself, as we're going to get to in just a moment, the main message in just a moment, but we come to ourselves as Abraham did. But there's a whole lot of things that went terribly wrong as a result of this disastrous downward path. The very fact of winning these Egyptians to the Lord, Abraham is not the man to do that now. Don't you think you can go back into the world and party it up, the world knowing that, man, you are a Christian, you go to church, you serve the Lord, you do this, you're ministering, whatever the case may be, but you backslide, and then you come back here, you party it up, you come to yourself, say, don't you think for a minute that they're going to want what you want? Think about that before you decide the church thing is just, I'm through with it. You think about that before you decide that the will of God is going to be chucked out the window. You think about the consequences. Sin has serious consequences. So it was a downward path. Egypt was a dishonest path. It was a disastrous path. It was a disappointing path. You know, he went down. The Bible says you always go down when you go into the world. He became self-centered. He created potential for others to sin. You know, I went through this. He ruined his testimony in the eyes of the Egyptians. It was a disaster. But then you see in verse number one of the next of our text, verse number one, and Abraham went up out of Egypt. Now, different direction now. Pharaoh said, out of here. Abram came to himself, convicted, what did I do? Let me just say this. If you're living in a backslidden state today, if God's convicting you right now, you know what? You better take care of that. Because it's going to harm you in such disastrous ways. It'll harm you. It'll harm your family. It did Abraham. It will affect the will of God. But you see here, okay, he's going the other direction. He came to himself. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. He went up. So there's two kinds of people here that I'm talking to this morning. The one that's, you're in tune with God, and I use that term a lot, but you're in tune. You're living for the Lord the best of your knowledge. You're not perfect. You'll never gain perfection on this side of heaven. But, man, you say, preacher, man, the best I know, I'm where I'm supposed to be. But there's some, sadly, you've gone through the routine long enough. You're just kind of cold to it, I guess. You're numb to it. That's the word I was looking for. And you know that your heart's not where it should be. You know, you're frustrated, though you try to act like you're not. You've lost that joy, you've lost that zeal, you've lost that stamina. The energy of the Lord that you had, the energy of that comes from the Holy Spirit, it's just not there. You haven't lost salvation. Don't misunderstand that. You can't lose that, thank God. But there's some here under the sound of my voice that you're not in line with God. You're not in tune with him. You perhaps haven't met him in a long time, and as a result, you have just kind of slowly but surely taken yourself, perhaps taken your family, perhaps telling your family to lie. Abram did. You know, trying to, you know, or telling your family's lies. Well, Daddy, how come I don't go to church? Mommy, how come we don't go to church as much as we used to? And then some excuse comes up. Listen to me now. Listen. We wonder why we're here. If the truth of the matter is, right now, you know, sin is only fun. It's fun, the Bible says, for only a season. Just for a little while, there's pleasure in it. But it will go ahead and catch up to you. And maybe it has caught up to you, but you know you're still trying to hang tough. But eventually, you will fall flat because you're trying to do everything in the energy of the flesh, and that will not work. So Abram got right with God. You know, so I want to encourage you, if that's where you are, well, you know what, you ought to decide today for your sake, for the sake of God's will for your life, for the sake of your family, for the sake of whatever, whoever around you or those that you influence, you ought to decide today, hey, you know what, I'm going to get out of Egypt, and I'm going to go back up to Canaan, I'm going to go back up to where I should. This is what Abraham did. So what does it involve? Number one, it involves removing. In verse number 1 and 2, and Abraham went up, okay, up, out, okay, that's action there. He moved himself. He removed himself from the situation. Out of Egypt, he and his wife, he took everything that he had, and Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. So how do I get out of this rutted life? How do I get out of this backslidden condition? How do I get out of there? It's going to involve you to get up, out of Egypt. Get out of that, the sinful living. Get out of them fleshly desires that you have grabbed a hold of, that you know is wrong. Remove yourself. Abraham removed his person from the world, from Egypt. He separated himself from that place. One who has gone into sin and desires not to stay there, the only solution is to fully remove yourself from that situation. I wonder who here today, you know what, preacher, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. I'm not dealing with you, but the Holy Spirit is, and he's shining a light on you, and he's trying to cut away some things, and he knows, and you know that, boy, the end is going to be very disastrous if I don't take care of this. It's going to do a lot of harm to me and all around me. But you're not willing to remove. The only way you're going to have revival back in your life is you've got to remove yourself from the world. You've got to remove yourself from that situation. You see, that's what Abram did. He realized what his sin had done to him. He's paying the consequences. Again, just understand the position of Pharaoh. Pharaoh could have gone ahead and killed him, but it was pure grace that Abram was able to leave Egypt at all, when you think about it. So it is with us. God gave us what we deserve. Listen to me. If God gave every single one of us what we deserved, he could slay us for our sins. Every single one of us, under the sound of my voice, deserve the devil's hell. But by his mercy and his grace, he saved us. He sent his only son, Jesus. And maybe there is someone else under the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus as Savior. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that you could have eternal life in heaven. You need to understand, if you're here and you think that, boy, you know, religion is going to get you to heaven, you know what? It's not going to get you to heaven. If you think that, man, taking the sacraments is going to go ahead and take you to heaven, it's not going to get you to heaven. If you think that, boy, I get dunked, I get sprinkled, I get poured, I get thrown in the water for baptism or whatever the case may be to get you to heaven, that's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way that you can get to heaven, it's not going to be a Baptist way. I can't go ahead as a pastor get you to heaven. I can go ahead and give you the message from the Word of God how you can go to heaven. But it's not a religion that saves you. It's the finished work at Calvary, what Jesus did on that cross, shed every drop of his blood so that you could have eternal life. And you can go to heaven by simply trusting Jesus as Savior. But you know what? We all deserve hell. But thank God he deals with us in love and grace, just like we see here with Abram. Abram separated himself from the situation. Well, you know what? You may need to do that today, child of God. You know maybe you're backslidden. You know you're not in tune. But you need to separate yourself from the world and the situations that's dragging you down. Separation is required for those who wish to walk in God's blessing and power. You know, God's not going to bless a sinful man. You better understand that. Listen to me. If you're living in sin today, don't you expect to have the blessing of God, that the one that's doing their best for God, serving the Lord, doing everything they can, they're in tune with God. Don't you expect to have the same blessing that man has if you're over here living just the way you want to live? Well, you know, listen to me. We need to be growing as a Christian. If you're here today and you're saved, you ought to be a stronger Christian today than you were yesterday. You need to be an actively growing Christian. You need to go from that just bearing fruit to the point of what John 15 says, to much fruit. You need to be growing each and every day in your Christian life. And if you don't, you're going to die. You will die. Spiritually, you're going to die. No, not heaven as far as heaven's related, not salvation. But you will not go ahead and produce all that God wants you to produce simply because you're not growing. You need to grow. But you need to remove yourself. Backslidden one. From that which is not right. Remove yourself from the wicked situation that you may be living in. You know, understand the world is watching us. You know, them little kids that maybe you minister to, or your family, your children that God has given you in your home. You know what? Your wife, your husband, they are watching us. Your neighbor across the street, they are watching us. And if we live like them, why would they want what we have? If we go ahead and we continue live, yeah, they go to church, they do this, but they see you drinking it up, they see you smoking it up, they see you living like the devil and living like the world. Why would the lost world want that? Why would they want it? Because all they see is like, I don't have to change anything. Boy, Christian, you know what? Your testimony is very important. your testimony. You know, you need to grow in grace. You know what the Bible says? We become new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, there's a great change since you got born again, if you will, the song says. You know, there ought to be a great change. You ought to be stronger for the Lord today. You ought to be more desirous to serve him more today than ever. God ought not just be an option put on the shelf and he's there when you need him. No, he ought to be in every single part, moment of your day. God, he ought to be part of your life. Someone's wrapped up in bondage of sin today. You know how to go ahead and be released of that bondage? Absorb yourself in truth. Maybe you're here today and you're living a sinful, wicked lifestyle, and I don't know what it is. I'm just the messenger this morning. But the Holy Spirit may be working on you, and you might be engulfed in some sort of sin and wicked lifestyle and so forth. You know how to go ahead and be released of that. Absorb yourself in the truth of God. The Bible says in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know who the truth is? Jesus. Jesus said, I quoted a moment ago, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." He is the truth. So you know what? You don't have to walk around all bound up and, you know, you got no good testimony for the Lord. You don't have to be just kind of bound up and living like the world and be all wrapped up in sin this morning. You know, you can absorb yourself just like any Christian has to do the same thing. You can absorb yourself in the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says, you'll be made free. Them bands of bondage of sin that's kind of got you wrapped up, just kind of slow and sure, just kind of start easing off. Yeah. Why? Because the truth, Jesus, will make you free. So what's it involve? I'm living in the world. I'm not the kind of Christian I should be. I've gone back to Egypt. I did some terrible things down there. What's it involve? It involves removing yourself from the situation. Number two, it involves returning. Verse number three, and he went. He went up out. He's convicted of God. He realized what he'd done. Realized his testimony got marred. He realized, man, he paid some consequences for his sin and his actions. He went up out of Egypt. He was heading back to Canaan, and he went on his journeys from south even to Bethel. Bethel is a place of blessing. It's the house of God. It's the place of the altar, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. And unto the place, this is what happened. Verse number four, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He got convicted. He removed himself of the situation. Now you see him returning to God. You know, some, maybe you've wandered far away from God. You're kind of like the prodigal. You know the right way, you're saved, but you know what? You wandered far away from God. Abram wandered away from God. He removed himself. Now he's returning. You know, I just mentioned the prodigal. The prodigal, you had one son that stayed home, then you have the other son that the Bible teaches that said, "Boy, give me all my inheritance, Dad." And he goes out and he spends it on riotous living. Didn't work out well. Bible says he came to himself. He realized, man, he's living in, he spent all his money. He was living, feeding hogs. He was living in the pig pen, if you will. That's what the world would do, by the way. Bible says in Luke that he came to himself. And he realized, man, I need to go back to the Father. Listen to me here. This is exactly the same picture here of Abram. He went ahead and he came to himself. He says, "I did wrong. I went down into Egypt. I knew better. My faith was shaken, and I left the will of God, and I went, famine got bad, things got terrible, and now here I am in Egypt, and I caused my wife to lie, and I lied, and I did some terrible things here. I got to get out of it." That's what the prodigal, I got to get back home to Daddy. I got to get back to the Father. And this is what Abram did here. He says, I got to return. I got to return back to God. I got to get back to the Father. I got to build an altar there. And you know what? It just wasn't an altar of thankfulness here. You know what? Though I think there was some thanksgiving taking place. But you know what? No doubt, boy, when he built that altar, he got him and his family and bowed down before God saying, oh God, I'm so sorry. You know why we won't go ahead and grow? You know why we'll just stay stagnant? Because we are afraid to tell God, I'm sorry. You know why relationships break off? I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about good friends. Maybe there was an offense taken or whatever, but the party that maybe did the offending, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Yeah, them two words can go ahead and bring a reuniting. And I guarantee you, listen to me, I guarantee you, I don't know all that was said here. The Bible doesn't say. But you know, for Abram, there was some getting right with God. Let me ask you a question. Where are you in relation to God this morning? Hey, teenager, where are you in relation to God? You're saved, yes, praise the Lord. You're baptized, amen, praise God. You come to church every Sunday, amen. Let me ask you a question. The Bible that I hope that you're holding in your hand right now, do you crack it open throughout the week? I'm talking teenagers a minute, but you know what? It applies to us all. Teenagers, listen to me. I love you guys. You know, I'd be your best friend if you would just take this bit of advice. Listen to me for just a moment. Read your Bible this week. I'm afraid for some of you young people. I see you here this today. But some of you won't be here next year. And do you know why? You didn't nurture that relationship with God. You know, and the way to nurture that relationship with God, I'm talking to teens for just a moment, all through the room here. You got to open up the book, and you've got to know God for yourself. Yeah, you're saved. Now he wants you to grow. And he's got a big, huge plan for you guys and gals. Huge. Boy, if you just go ahead and buy that and just understand, man, God is a big God and he's got a big plan for me. He does. You may not know what it is right now, but you stay in church, you read your Bible, you ask God, what is the will of God, Lord? I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. If you would just go ahead and obey the Lord and just submit to his will, let me tell you something, it will change your life. It will change your life. The church, it'll change all of our lives. You know, if we're going to go ahead and expect the young people to go ahead and be in the will of God, how about us? I don't want you. All I want is my children. I said, I think in youth group the other night, all I want for my own kids, just find the will of God, marry in the will of God, and do it. Whatever it is. I mean, if whatever it is, just find God's will. Get involved in church or if it's a ministry, whatever. Marry well. Marry in the will of God. Don't marry just according to, whew, she's hot. No, that's part of it. I get it. You know, anyways, I better stop. But, you know, or he's so handsome. Yeah, that's fine. You want that. I want to say something, but I'm not going to go any further. But listen to me. But wait a minute. It's much more to listen to me. There's much more to marriage than really the looks. What kind of heart do they have for God? I'll tell you something. If they do not have a heart for God at all, you ought to very kindly say, no, I cannot date you anymore because I need to marry a man or a lady that has the same heart that I do for God. I'm not saying be unkind. But they better have a heart for God. Let me tell you something. And if you don't, if you marry someone that doesn't have a heart for God, listen to me, it's not going to work well. I just got off on a little thing here, but just a moment, but move right along. You know, it involves, what does it take to get back to God? It involves removing yourself from the situation. Get yourself out of the world. It involves returning back to Him. Revive your devotion to God. When you travel back to Egypt, God is put away. Otherwise, when a Christian goes back to Egypt, you know what? God is so far from your mind. You know what? Because if He was on your mind, if you were walking in tune with Him, let me tell you something. You wouldn't readily just jump back and go into the world. You know what? When you go ahead and you return to that altar, you need to go ahead and revive that devotion to God and ask God to forgive you and ask God to go ahead and cleanse you and get back to that place where He wants you and get back into the center of God's will. You know, some of you need an altar again. You know, maybe this is just an altar. It's a picture of an altar course. It's an altar where you can just come and lay your burdens and lay your trials and your burdens with the Lord and so forth. You know, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got to your altar? You know, there's Christians here maybe today. You haven't used an altar in a long time. You don't have that altar maybe somewhere out in the woods somewhere, or you don't get alone with God, and you haven't gone ahead and cried out to God in a long time. You know what the altar is for? It's a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of seeking the Lord and His will. The altar is a place of repentance. It's a place of surrender. This is all, I think, it was what was happening with Abram. He left the world, came back to Canaan, and he got back on his feet, face, if you will, before God at a place of sacrifice. He was seeking God's will. He was repenting. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of thanksgiving. It's a place of supplication. It's also a place of praise and worshiping God. But you know what? Listen to me. There's Christians here today. You're dying. You're just about dead. And one little whoof of wind is going to go ahead and knock your dead leaf off and you'll be gone forever. If you're not in tune. You know it. And God knows it. Nobody else may even know it. But you know in your heart that peace is gone. And God says, remove yourself from that situation. Come back to me. Come back to me. Build an altar, if you will, and come back to me. Maybe you've allowed the fire and the flame of God's love to become embers. It's time for God's holy breath, if you will, to go ahead and breathe breath on that them few embers again. That eventually are just going to die out. But let the holy breath of God just breathe again on you. And get that flame back. Get that joy back. Get that excitement back. Get back, you know, get that excitement about getting back into the Word of God and studying and finding out the truths of God. Get that prayer life back. Get that family back and get things back in order. Get your ministry back. Just get back in order. And God he wants to fan the flames. But you know what? Some will just be happy with embers until the point. Embers eventually just going to turn to cold nothing. And then number three, and I'm done. It involves reviving. Abram revived his dedication, not just his devotion to God, but he revived his dedication to God. He rededicated his life to God and his purpose for him. Whatever it was that caused him to walk away in the first place, he went ahead and settled it. You know, that reviving seems, yeah, I get that from this verse here, verse number 3. And he went on his journeys from the south. He came back up, verse number 1. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. He went back to where it started. Next verse. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the, what is it, church? At the what? At the what? at the first. Listen, the problem's not God removing himself from you. The problem is ultimately we've moved ourselves away from him. And Abram, he couldn't stand it. He understood what the consequences were, and he got his on his face before God, and he got that revival back. You know, we talk about wanting a revival in this great nation. I believe we can still have it, but it's don't you even think for a moment that revival in this nation is going to start until we go ahead and get revived individually. Listen to me, Christian, listen. If you've not been in this book in the last week, I just say it this way. Listen to me. You're on the trail of backsliding. Listen to me. If you've not at least taken a moment, I don't know how to say it. Because I know that, man, there's power in this book, and I know that if I'm going to stay on the path that God wants me to stay on, I've got to consistently read the most powerful book that man has. If I, as your pastor, is going to stay on fire for God, which I think you want me to, but if I'm going to go ahead and stay on the path and stay on fire for God, I better be in that book, because let me tell you something. If I'm not, it ain't going to be good. That's not a good English word. Well, I just used it. Ain't. But listen, you expect your preacher, listen to me, to get on fire because he's walking with God. He's in that book. But you know what? If you're going to be on fire, you too. Got to be in that book. You want to have a good family life? Center your home at least around the centered around the principles of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, those of you, maybe you're going to have kids someday, but you know, a lot of the decisions we made as far as rules and different things, you know what? It was based out of this book right here, but we decided it ahead of time. We looked at most, said, okay, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do, we just decided it from the Word of God, from God's Word. Listen, you know what? Reviving. You know what? There's a revival in Abraham. You know what? He went ahead and he had to remove himself, and he returned to the place where God was. God never left. He went back to the place at the beginning where it all began for him. He got on his knees before God, and you know what? Then there was a revival in his life. There was a revival. There's a reviving there that took place in his life. Let me ask you a question. Christian, where's your heart today? I don't know anybody's heart here today. None. I don't know what's going on in your heart right now. He said, well, preacher, you know what? It seems like you are preaching right to me. No, you know, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit of God's preaching right to you. I'm just giving you a message from God. Listen to me. You on fire today? I'm talking for God. Hey, teenager, you on fire today? You want to be on fire? Get in God's Word. Put away that sin that so easily besets you, and get focused on that race, that will of God that God has for you. Put away that music, that wrong music that you know tears down your morals, and put it aside. Put away that bad language that you know is not right to go ahead and say, and lift up the name of Christ. Put away the things that you know ought not be in your life, and say, just let God cut it away so that he could prepare you for something, for a greater fruitfulness. John chapter 15. Allow him to. But don't expect to go ahead and get to a place of revival in your life until you decide, I need to remove myself. I need to return to where it all began. God, get on my knees and confess and thank God for his salvation and thank God for his blessing so that I can have revival. And then you have a revival in your own life. Let me tell you something. It'll spread to somebody else. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. It's powerful, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. I pray that we would go ahead and let that tool, the Word of God, just do whatever work it needs to do in our life. I pray that every child of God here would allow the Holy Spirit to